Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. Some new and disturbing findings from Duke University researcher Emily Urey indicate that rising sea levels are killing trees along the Atlantic coast and creating so-called ghost forests that are visible from space. This troubling development is attributable to the fact that sea level rise, driven by climate change, is making wetlands across the globe wetter and saltier. Recently, I caught up with Urey and her colleague, Professor Emily Bernhardt, to discuss exactly how and where this phenomenon is taking place and what, if anything, can and should be done about it.
Well, Dr. Emily Urey, Professor Emily Bernhardt, welcome to News and Views. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
So your study that you performed on the encroaching sea level rise and salt water that's encroaching on the North Carolina coastline and producing these so-called ghost forests. Talk to us about this new research and how it even came about.
So this research was really born out of trips that I had taken down to the coast for some experimental work. And when you're driving around out in eastern North Carolina, you see these ghost forests. I was having a very visceral reaction to them. You see dead trees and you feel sad and you feel as if something is not right.
It's something I wonder, though, that, you know, it's like a lot of things in life that if they happen gradually, you wonder if the people that are there maybe even noticed it initially. It happened so gradually, perhaps, that it's escaped people's line of sight for a while now. But obviously, you're calling attention to it at this point.
I would guess that people living out there, it hasn't escaped their notice because it's on a scale that you wouldn't imagine standing on the side of the road. And for a mile or more, you see dead trees. That's definitely got to be triggering to people who live there.
So let's talk about the magnitude of these ghost forests. Basically, we're talking about wetlands that were once forests that, because salt water is encroaching, the result of sea level rise, we've lost really tremendous amounts. I saw the statistic, 10% of the forest land in the Alligator River National Wildlife Area. Is that right?
Yeah. So there's been a large turnover of this forest into other wetland type or into open water. Mainly we're talking about salt marsh or herbaceous marshes and also some woody, shrubby vegetation coming in to replace the forested vegetation that's been lost. So that was really what we set out to do in this project, is we could see the forest lost from the roadside, but these forests are so dense and inaccessible in this protected area, we had really no way of knowing on the ground just how far this extended. So that's why we began looking at aerial imagery in the first place and looking at if we could detect this the forest dying off using satellite images.
So Dr. Urey, talk to us about the size of this problem. What kind of land area are we talking about?
So in Alligator River, which is a really large wildlife refuge, we've seen over 70 square miles of forested wetland converted to non-forested wetland over the past 30 years.
Wow, that's an amazing area of land. It's hard to even visualize. You know, I think a lot of people, when they think about sea level rise, they think about, oh, you know, the beach is going away that I used to go to for a vacation. And we've got to re-nourish the sand. And that's sort of where the sea level rise is evident. We're not talking right on the Outer Banks beach line here, right? This is inland a ways.
Exactly. In some places, the forests do encroach right onto the shoreline and you see those stumps out in the water and you know that there was forest there that's been lost to the sea. But we're also seeing this happen inland 3, 4, 5 miles from the coast. And one of the big reasons why we suspect this is happening further inland is due to the channelization of this landscape. So man-made ditches that were dug into the landscape for the purpose of draining these wetlands act as a conduit for salt water.
So we originally wanted to drain the wetlands because humans thought that they could somehow turn it into usable land. And those very same techniques we used are now providing a means of egress for the seawater to come back and reclaim the land.
Exactly.
We're talking with Dr. Emily Urey and Professor Emily Bernhardt from Duke University about a new study. Professor Bernhard, I want to bring you into this conversation briefly to talk about the magnitude of this problem. While Dr. Urey has identified a significant problem in northeastern North Carolina, suffice it to say, that's not the only part of the country or the globe in which this phenomenon is taking place.
Right. That's becoming sort of a new research direction, is that there's been a few reports about ghost forests coming out of Louisiana, coming out of the coastal Virginia research groups, and then our research group. And now the big question is, how extensive are these ghost forests? Again, you know, it's easy to see these fringes, but what our work is increasingly showing is how much this is a problem much further inland than we originally anticipated, largely because of artificial drainage infrastructure, things that actually make a lot more of the interior of the coastal plain vulnerable to exchange of salts with the ocean. And so we're in the process of making those first estimates now, again, from satellite imagery, and trying to figure out not only how much of coastal forested wetlands have been lost, but when did that happen? And is it associated with hurricane events, or is it a more sort of gradual eating away? And I think that is a really important part of the work that Emily did, was not just the amount, but the timing, the dynamics of these ghost forests, which I think is probably worth talking about. But I'll turn that back to her.
I was just about to ask Dr. Urey about that, the fact that it's hurricanes and maybe droughts too are playing a role in this. It's generally, it's not just sea level rise, but it's the extreme weather that we have come to learn is another unhappy side effect of the climate emergency.
Yes, exactly. And in North Carolina, we had a double whammy of drought for many years, followed by a hurricane and a storm surge of seawater coming into that already stressed soil, and probably leading to some sort of ecological tipping point where trees that were vulnerable just couldn't handle.
And I presume this has an additional side effect. It must transform the wildlife that inhabits that area as well, or must have some effect there as well.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest concerns about losing this coastal forested habitat is it's already the last fragments of these habitats that exist. So for the animals that rely on these coastal forested wetlands, we're really taking away their sort of last safe haven.
I want to talk about what the heck we do about this, if anything, but I want to understand, maybe for help our listeners understand a little bit better exactly what's happening. There are plants, I gather, that are more salt resistant. Is that effectively what's happening? Some of these plants are starting to take the place of the trees that inhabited these areas previously?
Yeah, there are salt marsh plants that are smaller, they're grassy, and they're more resistant to salt water, more tolerant to living mm-hmm. in saline conditions. And so they're moving inland into the places where forested wetland are now no longer able to survive. But the forested wetland doesn't have anywhere to move because we've developed and we've put agriculture out in our coastal plains. So this forested wetland is really getting squeezed out.
So I guess this leads us in conclusion to a discussion of what, if anything, we can do about this. We're talking again with Dr. Emily Urey and Professor Emily Bernhard of Duke University about ghost forests and the encroaching sea that is affecting the flora and fauna of the northeastern North Carolina. Obviously, we have to get serious immediately about the climate emergency. There's a desperate need to reduce fossil fuel consumption so that we stop rising the level of seawater temperature and sea level rise. Is there anything else we can do that's more specific to this situation beyond just these sort of global solutions?
If I could take that for just a second, I started working down on the North Carolina's coastal plain to study the effects of a very large wetland restoration project. And so we are seeing that, you know, to combat the historic destruction of coastal wetlands, there has been a lot of money and time and effort invested in replanting them and turning ag land back into forested wetlands. And right now that's still continuing, as if we can go back to this historic state. And we're looking at a rapidly changing future. So I think we need to move more into an era of pre-storation, where we're sort of actually making plantings and designs that take into account the altered hydrology and chemistry that these landscapes are heading towards, rather than continuing to sort of fight against the inevitable. I think that's going to be a big part of it.
So just as the fight to somehow preserve, you know, recreational beaches with constant beach so-called renourishment is probably ultimately doomed to fail. It's much the same here. There's no way to make it like it was. So we're better off trying to come up with something at least better than nothing. for lack of a better way to describe it. Is that an accurate description?
I think I would say they could be significantly better than nothing. I mean, we can do things that are likely to be more tolerant and resistant, and also provide great habitat. I think the worst case scenario is that we lose these coastal forests. We end up having our currently farmed agricultural land like right up against the coast. And that's kind of the worst of all worlds for the people that are operating those farms, for the fertilizer runoff, and that it's going to go straight into the coastal ocean. You know, we really need these fringing wetlands, and we need them to be as healthy as possible for all kinds of reasons, for wildlife and for farmers and for coastal fishermen.
It's an incredibly important topic. You say there have been some efforts. Whose responsibility is this? Is it the federal government? Is it the state government? Who's going to make this kind of policy shift that we so desperately need take place?
This is going to be a combination of, you know, NGOs, the Nature Conservancy, Audubon are very heavily engaged already on the coastal plain. And then ultimately, when we're talking about, say, mitigation, that's going to be the Army Corps of Engineers that actually determines what counts and what doesn't count for sort of mitigation, which is one of the major movers of wetland construction and wetland restoration throughout the country.
I know people could probably Google this research. Dr. Urey, is there an easy place to find it? Should they just Google Emily Urey, Ghost Forests, Duke University? Or what's the best way to find some of this research? They can also find it, of course, at ncpolicywatch.com.
You can check out the article that we put out about the research in The Conversation, and the research is published in the Journal of Ecological Applications.
Great. That's theconversation.com. Journal of Ecological Applications, and of course at NC Policy Watch. Well, Professor Bernhardt and Dr. Urey, thank you so much for your important research. Thank you for the service to our community. Please keep up the good work, and maybe we'll talk again later on when some of these mitigation tactics have been implemented and hopefully some better results have been affected. We really appreciate your work.
Thanks for having us.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Remember, you can check us out online and subscribe for free to some of North Carolina's best news coverage and political commentary at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Henkel, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. If you haven't done so already, please sign up to get vaccinated. Stay safe by following the pandemic safety protocols. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.